morning, everyone. We'll follow this meeting to order. First off, if anybody's carrying smartphones or anything like that, if you'd put them on silent or that, and that disturbs the meeting, appreciate it. Everybody's reaching.
Long stun.
That's right. Put your phasers on, fabulous. All right, if you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Good deal. We'll move on to item number three. This is discussion and possible action of the approval of the agenda for June 3rd, 2014. You have something on this, Mark? Come on up to the podium.
Yeah, good morning, Commissioners. Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. Commissioner meeting, June 3rd, 2014. Discussion before the approval of today's agenda for June 3rd, 2014. It's come to my attention under item number 11, there will be an acceptance or renewal of a proposal, Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool. As of prior to the meeting, the packet's not available to the public for viewing. So, if you all have that packet and the public doesn't, of course, that'd be violation of open meeting law. Statute would require you to let me look at the packet at some time before this item comes up, I guess. And if y'all have the packet and we don't, of course, that's a violation of open meeting law. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll fix that. I'll have to leave for a few minutes, but I'll leave.
We usually don't receive the packet until after we approve it. Hmm? We usually approve this before we receive
it. Yeah, there was a pre-packet of information that they had. My office had, and apparently Jesse's packet. So I'll go get it and get it multiple copies burned for you and for the public.
Okay.
Okay. I'll do it during the
thank you.
Six. And, okay. Oh, well, there you go.
I have one.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and we'll hear item 11 separately.
Yes. Yes. He was going to get hurt separately anyway.
Okay. No. He'll be able to go photocopy some off and bring them in. It's available. Actually, Carol just gave Mark a copy of it right now, so Pat'll just have to leave for a couple of minutes and make some copies.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on. Then. Yeah.
With all these.
Okay. The county manager is going to remedy that by making some copies. So at this time, I'm looking for a motion for approval of today's agenda.
So moved.
Second.
And moving to second, approval of agenda for June 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We're going to bring you up right now, but we're going to wait until Pat gets back, okay? So we'll continue on. We're going to squeeze you in. ASAP. All right. Okay. All right. Let's move on to item four, discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for May the 6th, 2014. Is there any discussion on these minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
And moved in second for approval of the minutes for May the 6th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Let's go ahead and move on to item five, discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for May the 19th, 2014. Is there any discussion on these minutes? Mark, you have something on this?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Mark Joseph Phillips. This is the discussion. Before possible action, approval of the minutes of the May 19th meeting. Of course, it was public budget hearing, and in public comment, I made reference to a county comptroller using forms provided by Department of Taxation. I went in late last week, got a copy of what was submitted and signed by the commissioners, and this is just a paste-up job. It's a travesty. It's embarrassing. I'm sorry that the comptroller didn't use the official forms. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion on the minutes of May the 19th?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and second to approve minutes for May the 19th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, let's move along to the consent agenda. Anybody have anything, any discussion on the consent agenda today? Can I get a motion for approval?
Motion to approve.
Second motion to approve.
It's been moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Perfect. Motion carries. Item 7, is that right? We're at? No, that was under consent, excuse me. Item 9. We'll go ahead and start with staff reports. And let's see here. Sherry, do you want to start off? Or, hold one second. Paul, do you need to get going, Paul? Would you like to speak first?
No.
Okay. All right, very good. Okay, Sherry.
Good morning, Commissioner Sherry Nevin for the record, here with a quick update on what's happening with community services. I've mentioned before, but I wanted to mention it again so people can make sure to save the date for October 18th. We have a Story County Health Fair planned from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Piper's Opera House. So far, we have upwards of 20 folks who have committed to coming out for that. We're going to have United Blood Services doing a blood drive that day as well. So we're really happy. We'll have flu vaccines and a couple of other vaccines as well. We're also working to schedule a flu shot and pneumonia shot clinic in Lockwood sometime mid-September. That'll be in conjunction with the school, so it'll probably be something like a 3 to 6 p.m. so we can handle the kids getting out of school and serve the rest of the community as well. We were awarded a historic preservation grant, which I believe I've spoken about, perhaps. I wasn't at the last meeting, so I'm not real sure. To assist St. Mary's Arts Center with some repairs to their front porch. They're having some major issues with water seeping into the building that needs to be remedied. And also to update the seismic study here on the courthouse. So that grant is a total of about $20,000. We should be receiving that award here within the next couple of weeks and hope to begin work sometime after July 1st. We also have a grant in the process, and we'll be going out to bid very, very soon on the repair of the roof here on this building. So we've got about approximately 24-month time period to get that project done. We're hoping we can move through it real quickly, go out to bid and begin the work, and hopefully before snow sets in, we can have everything taken care of. That'll also include removal of the flagpole on top of the building here that's sat idle for many years due to its disrepair, so that'll be coming off of the building. As you heard at the last meeting, Hawk will be leaving the Virginia City Community Center as of July 10th. We had a great meeting yesterday with folks from Community Chest, Carson City Health and Human Services, and the Healthy Communities Coalition to see what we can do to get healthcare back here in Virginia City. It's a great opportunity for us at this time. I'm very excited to be working with them. We've got some really innovative ideas, and hopefully we can get that up and running here soon. So at least get someone in the building and get some services running. So we've got several different options, and it's a lot of stuff to kind of take in and move together. So we're working towards that. The USDA project for the new wastewater treatment plant is moving along quite well. I do have to say it's keeping me very busy and a lot of other people. It's a lot of paperwork. So we're working through that. We're hoping to have the notice to proceed by June 12th. So construction should start seeing some dirt moving here pretty soon. So Six Mile Canyon Mitigation Grant, which we've been working on for many, many years, going back to late 2008. We finally received word that the grant award is in the mail. So we should be able to start work on that here really soon, too. So it's good news to see things kind of moving forward that we've been working on for so long. DA Maddox and myself have been working in getting the grant application for the community support grants done and coming before you for approval. We're hoping to have that, I'm going to say, probably by July 1st. So that's what I've been doing, as well as traveling around the state. Wanted to make mention, I've been to a couple of different places here in the state over the last month or so, and I do have to say that the Comstock definitely has something going. I've been to Tonopah, I've been to Austin, I've been to Yarrington, Hawthorne, all places in between, and you come here and there is activity. There's people, so we should be very proud of what we're doing here. It really shows. So.
What are you doing in your free time?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Hanging out.
Thank you, Sherry. It's been brought to our attention that since there's early voting going on right now, this is a polling place, so there can't be any political campaign signage within 100 feet of this building. So if anybody has signage pertaining to the campaign, you're going to have to go downstairs and move it. If it's is it the vehicles too? On vehicles, so. Sorry about that, but we don't want to have any NRS violations. We moved along into staff. Do you want to backtrack for the resolution?
Certainly. I thought the resolution could go ahead and go through. The sheriff's here. Mayor Lee's here. So
is the sheriff going to do the resolution?
Jerry, is this yours? Yes.
Okay. All right. We're gonna skip and go forward, and then we'll come back again. But we're going to move to item 13. This is discussion, possible action, the approval of resolution 14-399, recognizing Senior Awareness Month. Sheriff Antonaro, read the resolution.
Good morning, Commissioners. This is something that we've done for the last few years, to recognize our seniors and volunteerism in Story County this year. In the past, we've always done it for a week. This year, we're hoping to expand it for a month to try and raise that awareness further. These two lovely ladies on either side of me have been instrumental in this. This year, we've got a park and recognition ceremony scheduled for our
Perry Ranch Park.
Perry Ranch Park. Mm-hmm. The first time we've had it on the north end of the county. That's going to be on the 21st. We've got a poultry run. Commissioner Gilman, you ride. on the 22nd, we hope to see you at that. Working on a couple of ice cream socials in different areas of the county. And hopefully just overall doing a good job of raising awareness of our seniors and all that they do. So we would ask that you approve this resolution recognizing our seniors.
Any comments on this, Commissioner
Gilman? Actually, I think it's wonderful. Part of my platform early on was to raise senior awareness, and I believe it's probably one of the most important things that we can do in our community today. Our community has more and more seniors every year coming along, and I think everybody on this board has joined me to recognize and to support and get behind that. So I thank you for all your efforts. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing.
It is.
It's wonderful.
Would you like to, after you make a motion on the resolution, do you want to read it? Would you like me to read it?
Well, I'll make a motion to approve it.
Are you going to read the resolution?
That's what I'm asking, if you would like to, or
I think you should read the resolution first. Sheriff, if you read the resolution first, and then we'll...
Resolution 14-399, a resolution by the Story County Board of Commissioners recognizing the month of June 2014 as Senior Awareness Month. Whereas senior citizens are part of the vital fabric that makes up our communities, whereas senior citizens bring a lifetime of skill and experience as parents, workers, citizens that can be tapped to meet challenges in our communities, Whereas senior citizens volunteer over 1.6 billion hours of service to our country every year, and more than half of those volunteer on a regular basis. Whereas the senior citizens of Story County have, by their faithful and loyal devotion to their responsibilities, demonstrated a dedication to our communities, and in so doing have established for themselves an enviable and enduring reputation for preserving the rights of seniors and gaining the respect of all citizens. Now, therefore, the Story County Board of Commissioners does hereby proclaim the month of June 2014 as Senior Awareness Month, and does call upon all patriotic, civil, and educational organizations to observe the month by commemorating Story County senior citizens.
Great. Thank you. I might receive an approval for Resolution 14-399.
Motion to approve.
Motion to second.
Okay.
Moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to move back into staff now under item 9. The recorder's office. Jim, do you have anything today? Nothing today? Thank you, Terry. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Out of the comptroller's office, Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hugh Gallagher, Comptroller for Story County. Just a word of information. As of Friday, we received the funding on the USDA new sewer treatment plant. It was $2,200,000, of which, or $2,990,200, of which $10,000 had to be taken off the closing costs pertaining to Wells Fargo. In talking to County Manager Witten, I think the clock starts ticking when, Pat?
Clock. A week from Thursday.
A week from Thursday. So we should be up and ready to go. We're going to take those funds and put that into a construction money market account until such times those funds are used. And then USDA will come in and assume that loan, and then the portion, the $2 million plus portion of the grant will then kick in, and then the amortization of that will start. So that's on the USDA. I'd just like to make a comment on Mr. Phillips's travesty comment. The forms that are provided to us are provided by the Department of Taxation. They are Department of Taxation forms. And consequently, the submission of that has to be on those Department of Taxation forms. We have received approval that our submission for this budget has occurred and is complete. So I'm not sure what travesty there is, but I'm certainly going to tell the chairman right now that this is not one of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Judge Harrington, anything from your office today? Everything's okay? Everything's copacetic and justice of the peace? All right. Just not great. Mr. Osborne?
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. I just wanted to mention Planning Commission meeting at its June 19th meeting. We'll be hearing Comstock Mining's special use permit expansion. This will be a substantial expansion of both their mining operations as well as processing. And so we're in the process developing the staff report for that right now. Preceding that item at the same meeting will be a request for zone change from commercial residential to forestry on a portion of areas at Lower Gold Hill. That will go in concurrence with the special use. And so I just want to let the public and others know that meeting will be taking place, and it will take place here at the courthouse in the district courtroom. I just want to let the commissioners know and the public as well that we have completed our preliminary review of master plan findings and review and public comment from all of our communities. People have graciously taken their time to help us come up with the goals and objectives and the things they'd like to see in their communities with regard to land use planning as well as across the county. So what we'll be doing right at this point is developing, actually putting some final touches on the chapter that applies to land uses. The population chapter draft is somewhat completed at this point, and then we'll be bringing that chapter and those goals and objectives to the communities as well for public comment. And we anticipate the master plan update to be looking around this time next year or early summer of next year for completion. And those are the two items I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Sheriff Fontanero.
Just one thing, a report on the past weekend's events. Since last year it was clouded by so many complaints and misery, I thought I'd share the Reno Tahoe Odyssey run this year. Seemed to go pretty much without a hitch. They moved the one location out in the highlands from Cartwright Road to just north of that, the big pad, away from the intersection, so that kept congestion down there. A little bit of a blockage at Lousetown for a few minutes, but it was cleared up relatively quickly, and then one little snafu down at Devil's Gate. Highway Patrol got there, and that got all cleared up, so I haven't heard any complaints from the public, so hopefully you haven't, and seemed to be a workable plan that hopefully it'll continue being a positive event for us in the future.
Great. Thank you. County Manager Whitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, on Saturday, we attempted to auction off the three houses over here that we would like to see moved to private ownership. The good news is one of them sold. The bad news is we still got challenges with the other two. So we will discuss this with Bert Badeau with the Historic District, and also with Joe Curtis, the current chair, and yourself, Commissioner McBride, who sits on that on behalf of the county. And we're still going to endeavor to find the best ways to get those houses moved. So stay tuned. By your earlier approval of the consent agenda for July 15th, by your earlier approval of the consent agenda, I just want everybody to note that that also included canceling the county commission meeting scheduled for the second, third Tuesday of the month on July 15th. And lastly, there are quite a few things going on this weekend as well. I was glad to hear Sheriff Antonora's observations. Denny Dotson, the tourism director, couldn't be here today. We have a Muck Fest. To get the details on that, probably the best thing I can encourage you to do is either call the Visitor Center at 847-7500 or go to their website, visit virginiacitynv.com. But there's all kinds of mining-related stuff going on from the rest area at the north end of town, clear down to Gold Hill, and presumably even beyond that. It's all over town. This Friday is, I believe, the second in a series of monthly Flashback Fridays. Entrance to our museums are free. And lastly, there is a wine tour also going on. This will be, by my count, since we have it on the first Saturday of the month through August, excluding July, this will be the second of only three. So if you have any interest in going to, it looks like 18 to 20 different venues and trying different wines scattered throughout, those tickets are available at the Virginia City website as well, or I presume the day of the event.
Great.
And that's all I have, sir.
Any other questions? District Attorney Maddox.
I have nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Assistant DA, Ms. Langer?
I have nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Jeffy, Vanessa?
And if I could add, please, and again, I apologize, this was my office's oversight in getting the information to Vanessa. The insurance pool and our broker had provided this in ample time. There was a breakdown in communications, but there are a number of copies, I believe, in the back of the room now for the member coverage survey for those of you that didn't get one that still would like one.
All righty. Story County Liaison, Southwest Gas, Mr. Quam.
Okay, this is the last call for the question, natural gas questionnaire. Any of the property owners from Silver City, Gold Hill, Virginia City have not already filled it out. I have copies with me. Last call. This effort is an effort to work smarter, live smarter, play smarter, by saving money. When people save money, they actually live better. It's not an effort to modernize the Comstock, as I've gotten some feedback from my project. It will financially help all sectors of the Comstock. That's why it's important for property owners on the Comstock to fill it out. I have copies with me. Please let me know if you need a copy. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Paul. And that's a great effort pursuing this. If we can get natural gas to Silver City, Gold Hill, and Virginia City, it's just going to be a win-win for everything. From the person who rents an apartment to the county government school district, where we pay huge amounts of cost for propane in this community. So, did I miss anybody on staff?
Think so.
We got everything? Okay. All right. We'll move on to item 10, board comment. Commissioner Shevagin?
I have a pretty long list today, Mr. Chairman.
Should we order out lunch?
See how we do here. I was just seated on the NACO's legislative committee for this year, and one thing we'd like to do is get a list of any possible BDRs from the counties. These would be more on a statewide type issues, so we can do that. And then we will meet beginning about August or September, I think. We'll start meeting every Friday. One of the things that we're working on right now is moving tax abatements down to a more local level, so we have a little more control on those. We'll see how that goes. Talked to Bruce Breslow last Friday, and Lance, you probably already know, water is probably coming to TRI with some new water rights. So yes, that's good news. Under a new section in the NRS, we can now entertain road exchanges with NDOT. They'll be within the next 2 weeks, I think, sending us an instruction booklet. If we want to get rid of a road, like Six Mile Canyon, we can make application. They said it's very doable now. If we wanted to pick up C Street and turn that to a county thing, we can make a request, and they would really like to see us do that. So that's something that we should be looking at. And I talked to Lyon County about 6 Mile, and they said, yeah, we'll give you a town too. And this one's not really a biggie for Story County, but tilt payments are hanging up in the air again out of Congress. The Nevada Land Management Task Force report is now available online on, and the state NACO website. You can see what we've generated, a package about an inch thick, I guess, how to withdraw public lands and how much money we can make managing that land as opposed to zero line management and Forest Service. Quite a bit of reading involved in it, but it looks pretty good, and we'll be reporting, presenting that to the Nevada legislature this summer, I think in July or August, to the State Lands Committee. NACO, State NACO conference this year is in Ely in November, but after the election. And the last thing I had is a report from Ron Engelbreit in Mark Twain. He said there's quite a few wells down there starting to dry up. So I asked him to see if he could help us put together a list of people and places and as much data as we can find on them. And if we see that maybe there's a couple of dozen of them that are having a problem, we might have to consider something on that. I don't know what, but I was at one of their meetings just, I think, last week and had a show of hands down there, and quite a few hands went up in the room. So there's, and this is all happening just recent. So I don't know if that's from dry conditions or if they're just, they just suck the ground dry. Anyway, that's all I have, sir.
Great. Commissioner Gilman.
I give a shout out to Chairman McBride. He attended a hearing with the governor at the Peppermill, and it was a celebration of sorts for the Zoo Lily Company that are completing their building. It's about 705,000 square feet, I believe. And the news for our county is it's another 1,000 new jobs in the TRI. And up and coming, probably the most successful, I'm told, company on the internet right now for internet sales. But I've had a lot of nice comments back. We were down working, Manager Whitten and I were working on another project, so we were not able to attend. That has far-reaching consequences for Story County. But in the meantime, Chairman McBride did the presentation, and I've been told by several people that he did a masterful job. I wanted to pass that along. Thank you for representing us so eloquently. And then it was told that Hugh Gallagher, who I don't believe is here now, he actually read the award, and it was probably the best reading of a award that we'd ever heard. So those are all fun information. I can share with you from Cajon Rio Industrial Center. It's a revenue driver. It's certainly an employment driver in our community. Yeah. And it's on with a tremendous amount of business going on right now. And you all have heard a lot of rumors, and there are truth to some of them and not total truth to others. But I can tell you that there's a tremendous amount of activity in our county right now that's going to drive employment and revenues. And I believe we could probably see somewhere between 5 and 10 million square feet being built or started new in our county this year. We're seeing companies that want 3,000 acres, 1,000 acres, there's two of those. All of the buildings have now been absorbed out there. There are no vacancies. There's a tremendous push right now in economic growth, not just in TRI, but in Northern Nevada itself. It's kind of across the board. But we're going to be the recipients of all the large companies because we have all the large land base. And so I think we can have a lot to look forward to. There's a big revenue generator, and it's really starting to catch on in our county today.
Great. If I could add a backup comment to Mr. Gilman.
Every month at the local NACO Board of Directors meeting, we go around the table and everyone gives a report on their county. All I can say is we are darn lucky to be Story County because no one else out there is having a good day. It is some of the horror stories I heard that just make you cringe.
Well, to give just a little conversation here for all of us that are here in the room, this file that I have here on my desk, There are 14 new companies lobbying to come into TRI all within the last 2 weeks. 14. And we're talking about thousands of acres of absorption. So it's unprecedented in my world. I've been in this business 40 years, and I've never seen the level of demand that we're enjoying right now in Story County at TRI.
Great. Well, Commissioner Gilman, thank you for those kind words. It's always a pleasure to share the podium with the governor of the state of Nevada. It's,
yes.
It's just great. Since Mr. Gallagher attended with me, I thought it was only appropriate to have him read the inscription up on the plaque that we presented with Zulily, because he speaks eloquently and he follows in the footsteps of his father, who used to do the same thing. So it's just a great deal. Along the lines of the TRI and the businesses coming in, when we attend meetings at the EDON or Western Nevada Development District, it keeps being brought to the attention of government that if this teacher's initiative known as the margins tax is to pass in November, the companies who are online to move to Nevada are not going to move to Nevada. And some of the businesses that are already set up here will pack up and leave, because there's a chance that a business could do $5 or $10 million in revenue each year, lose money, and still pay tax. It's just an awful piece of legislation, and we just have to keep getting it out there that this could be a killer for business going forward in Nevada if this margins tax is to pass. So I just want to keep bringing that up, because people have to know it's a job killer. As the sheriff alluded to this last weekend, there were two events that our business participated in. Saturday was the Reno Tahoe Odyssey, which went, I think, almost flawlessly this year, and I didn't read any complaints about it. There were some concerns about if it's for profit or is it private, is it a charity. It's kind of all the above. It is. They do make money on this, but they also, I believe their charity is the Children's Cancer Network, and that's who we send our sponsorship money to. And so that's a good event. Sunday's event is called Moms on the Run. It's sponsored by J.P. Pinocchio, who owns Pinocchio's Restaurant in Reno. He does three events. And this is for raising money for not breast cancer awareness, but for women who are going through breast cancer treatment. This is direct funding to these families to help them while they go through the treatment process. So it's not a big bureaucracy like United Way, where they spend all their money trying to raise more money and advertise. All of this money goes directly to the families who need assistance. And so we're also a sponsor of that, and so I personally know what they do, and it's just, they're two great events. I know they cause a little bit of inconvenience with the extra people in town and traffic, but they're well worthwhile charities, and so we support it 100%. I need to go ahead and back up one moment to the county manager. We have one more issue on these houses.
Thank you. And I say this particularly, hopefully, for Angela and any others. If you own land within the Comstock Historic District, and I have to clear this through our legal counsel later on this afternoon, but I think we established pretty much the approximate value of these houses at Saturday's auction. And I will tell you, they are astoundingly low, somewhere in the range of $0 to $10. So if you're interested in a house, knowing that the cost of moving is not $0 to $10, it's sizable. The cost of water and sewer hookups, if you don't have them, is not small. But these things could basically be had for a song. And there are two remaining, and very honestly, I think one of the better ones is still remaining. I was shocked at which one sold and which one didn't sell. I totally misread that. So if you're interested at all, come see me. Call me on my cell phone, day or night. I've got a house for you.
Thank you. That sits on oceanfront property. Okay. Let's move along to item number 12. This would be the approval of Resolution 14-398, designating the last day of June of each year, declared Highland Safety Day, and authorizing the closure of Blaustown Cartwright Road.
That was an item I put on, Mr. Chairman.
Oh.
That was a resolution to allow us to close that, those two roads on the last Saturday of June each year. We had a little, some questions came up last year about whether they could, the homeowners could legally close Wildstown and Cartwright, and because they are public, and so this is just a kind of a CYA resolution. It would allow them to proceed with closing those public roads and setting up their checkpoints, and also gives the sheriff and fire department, Fire Safe Highlands people, a known date well ahead of the event, and to pass out any kind of literature or do safety checks or whatever. And that's fairly simple.
Very good.
You want to read the resolution, Jeff?
And sure, if you want to, I'll read it.
Do you want to? That's what I asked.
Yeah, I'll, if you got it right there with you, I'll read it. So, Resolution 14398, be it hereby resolved by the Board of County Commissioners, Story County, Nevada, whereas Virginia City Highlands is a private residential community, including all roads, and whereas Story County owns Wildstown Road and 1 mile of Cartwright Road, and whereas trespassing on private roads in the Virginia City Highlands is a major concern, and whereas wildland fire is a major threat in the Virginia City Highlands and surrounding areas, and whereas uncontrolled off-road travel in the Virginia City Highlands and surrounding areas causes drainage problems. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the last Saturday of June in each year is declared Virginia City Highlands Safety Day, and the Story County Board of Commissioners hereby permits the closure of both Wildstown and Cartwright Roads. Wildstown will be closed near its intersection with State Route 341 and Cartwright near its intersection with State Route 341. Closures will begin at 8 a.m. and end at 6 p.m. Closures will be staffed by the Homeowners Association of the Virginia City Highlands. Residents of Virginia City Highlands, visitors of residents, bona fide realtors, all government agencies, and commercial vendors having business in the Virginia City Highlands will not be prohibited from entry to the Virginia City Highlands. Story County Sheriff's Office and the 474 Fire District may use this closure day for off-highway vehicle inspections and providing information to residents. And be it further resolved that this resolution be effective on the 15th day of June, 2014.
Any discussion on item 12? Call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 14398 designating the last day of June. In each year, we declare it Highlands Safety Day and authorizing the closure of Wildstown and Cartwright Roads on that day.
Okay. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. And since we've been skipping around, we're going to skip back to number 11 now, because I passed over it. I had a notation on it from when a comment was made early on, and I thought we'd already been there. So anyway, this is a discussion of possible action, the acceptance of the renewal proposal from Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, the approval and payment for from fiscal year 2014-2015 funds. My apologies to representatives of the pool for passing you over, but now we're back.
Before we do this, is the parentheses P-O-O correct, or should that be P-O-O-L?
It is P-O-O-L.
What?
It is P-O-O-L.
It's a typo.
It's a typo.
It should be P-O-O-L.
It's a typo for graph.
You would bring that up, though. Well, I just noticed it. You figured they wanted.
Well, and for the benefit of the district attorney, when Commissioner Shevagin said a BDR, that's a field draft request, okay? Because I know how you hate acronyms.
And actually, you need more talk about a DI, that's dropped in.
And actually, pool is just in a part of the abbreviation of the entire name. It's the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool.
It's easier to pronounce.
You guys are learning, I'm almost done.
Are you still here?
Good morning.
This is the next acronym.
I'm going to expand my two-minute presentation to probably 5 minutes, just to make sure that we're real clear on what's going on with Pool Pack, so that you have an understanding that, first of all, the very, very good news is your premium from last year went down just over $27,000. Now, having heard Mr. McBride in the past, were we overcharging you in the past? No. The answer to that question is the exposures changed. Pool Pack did a complete appraisal of all the buildings on the schedule. And it, as it turned out, we were slightly overinsured in some areas. And the second part of that equation is there was a reduction in the number of law enforcement officers. The liability on law enforcement officers is typically fairly expensive for obvious reasons. And third component to that is every year Pool Pack negotiates the rates with the London's market for the reinsurance. And that is a real key component to how the rates are going to fall upon all the members. It is not just Story County, but it's all the members of Pool Pack. If you get a minute and kind of look through this brochure, it'll give you a nice recap of what Pool Pack is up to. Now, another positive note is, as you know, last year we got $2 million in cyber liability, which is becoming a bigger problem all the time. This year they were able to get another $25 million in flood and earthquake coverage. Now, that means there's $125 million in flood and quake coverage for the pool members. That doesn't necessarily mean that Story County gets it all or Douglas County gets it. It's for all the pool members should an earthquake occur, and it will be applied to that area. So that's really, you know, a very, very good benefit that could not probably, I'm going to say with 90% certainty, be purchased at an affordable price on the open market. As you know, we have a long history. Story County has a long history with Pool Pack. I think we go back to 1988, and they have been a constant supporter and member of Pool Pack, and Story County does hold a seat on the executive committee. So they have a voice in what goes on, the services that are provided. To have your buildings appraised at no charge, there's human resource services, there is firearms training, and there is very excellent claims management, all by people who are educated and trained in municipalities. It's a pretty phenomenal program, and I am very proud to represent it, just as I'm proud to represent Story County. Now, do we have any questions?
Stan, would you give us a county overview, just a little bit of Pool Pack and some of the background there?
Absolutely, and I might defer a little bit to Ms. Wiswell, who's the subject expert with us today. But as Carol mentioned, we have been a member of the pool since the 80s, I believe, one of the original founding members. The pool portion of Pool Pack is your typical liability insurance that any government, any business, anybody would have. Covers all risk, covers our vehicles, covers our buildings, covers for liability. As Carol mentioned, earthquakes, flood, cyber crimes, which is more and more becoming an issue. Just talk to Target and see what they have to say. But that's the pool component, and it is a massive component because of the liability side. One thing I want to really tout, and I am, by the way, just for full disclosure, the county's representative on the executive committee for the pool. But the one tremendous unique aspect I think we get, and I wish Austin was here, but he's catching up on a major project. The one tremendous element that we get that I've never seen with any other insurance company anywhere, not inside my private sector corporate life, not anywhere, and that's some outstanding state-of-the-art human resource support. We all have our varying degrees of sophistication with human resource, and I would say in the last many, many years we've come a long, long way. Through Mary Lou, Holly, now Austin. But I got to tell you, when the pool puts together their annual training conference in Reno, They bring in the best of the best. You know, our employee liabilities from a human resource perspective can be massive. So our premium is large, there's no doubt about it, but it is an incredibly run organization. I find insurance, quite frankly, to be, if not distasteful, at least something I don't want to pay any attention to. And thanks to the pool, every time I go to the annual meeting where all members of the pool meet for 2 days in Reno again, it is an incredible experience to be exposed to the entire working process. The PAC side's a little simpler. I'd like to call it your common run-of-the-mill workers' comp insurance. Again, it's not, because it's got outstanding claim service, as Carol says. There are good PAC or work comp claims that should be submitted and processed, and there are sometimes those that are not so good, potentially fraudulent. These guys work through all types of claims and handle them exceptionally well. So I would tell you this is one of the best-run organizations. Beyond that, they give us things like wellness programs for our cops and firefighters. And they'll even offer it, I believe, to our general employees for a small fee, as I recall.
Yeah.
They offer counseling services from anywhere from, you know, personal issues such as chemical dependencies, alcohol dependencies, but even debt management, grieving, those types of things through Horizon. So it's to call it simply pool is the tip of the iceberg, I guess, for lack of better.
I think the only thing I would add to that, Mr. Witten, and most of the things that we're talking about are outlined in the member services brochure that you have, but the one thing that I think a lot of people miss when they learn about Pool PAC is that we are not actually a insurance company. We are not licensed as an insurance company. We are not regulated by the Division of Insurance. We're formed under an interlocal cooperation agreement, and we're a nonprofit. And that's what makes it possible for us to offer all of these fantastic risk management services to our members, because a for-profit insurance company, as you know, has shareholders, and they have to pay them dividends. So they have to mark those rates up in order to pay those dividends. We're a nonprofit interlocal that is owned and governed by our members who make up the rural government agencies in the state, and we simply have no profit margin. We use all of that surplus to fund risk management services to help our members control their losses so that we can bring their rates down every year when possible. Thank you.
You know, I'd like to add, too, though, and it's often missed, especially in any insurance contract, but they also represent us in any suits that are filed against us, and they have a bank of attorneys that are experienced in civil rights and all the other different types of litigation that we have. And a lot of people don't realize when they get car insurance, probably the most valuable thing they get when they get it is the right to be represented by the insurance company. So. Mm-hmm. Lots of times the biggest fees are attorney's fees as much as anything else. And I think we have several suits pending right now that they're handling that I don't have to handle, so that's why I bring it up. I don't have to be an expert in personal injury and civil rights and everything else. So
yeah.
We actually get a good deal there in terms of the attorneys that we represent.
And we only use Nevada law firms. They're very... experienced in Nevada law. That's a distinction. If you were working with a for-profit insurance company based out of New York, you'd probably be dealing with an attorney that was assigned to you out of San Francisco.
Well, Commissioner Chevalier,
you've bailed me out a couple of times over the years.
That did the very best attorneys to do that.
Yeah, go back about at least 15, 18 years.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion?
Mark.
Dale, you had your hand up first. Come on up.
Neil Beach, Mark Twain. I'd like somebody to do some research. Back some years ago in Mark Twain, the people built a fire station. I read in the Comstock Chronicle that had recently reappraised everything, and that building was appraised at $250,000. A little time after that, the building burnt down, the People's Building, and they contracted a metal building for $250,000, and in some way, that left from the People's to the counties. Just like the Highlands had their own fire station and they sold it to the county. Well, that building sitting down there now was bought with the insurance money that was off of the county got off of that wood building that the folks out there. There's still people out there that was here at that time. I've talked to three of them. And I think somebody needs to deal with our problem. I don't know why these people wrote the check to the county instead of the People. But they just come up whenever we was doing this, going from a fire station to a community center. And it's going to be a non-profit thing. Now, whose is this? Whose building is that? And are we getting flim-flam for $250,000? It should be in an account just like our park fund for Mark Twain, or not? The district attorney, I've discussed it with him before, and fortunately, he's got a cousin who was around at that time working out of Labor's Local 169, and he came out across the street from my house and donated to his labor on several weekends to build that building. And their county didn't have one cent in it. The county owned the building, the land underneath it, the county owned, because the developer...
Do you have any questions about this item, about this insurance today?
Yes. Yes, my question...
I'm not talking about something that happened 20 or 25 years ago. I'm talking about... Well, this is on the agenda for today.
Okay.
If you want to continue on about the fire station, why don't you bring it up at the end of the meeting under public comment, which is generally the place for it.
It is?
Yeah.
Is that the right time?
That's the right time.
Gosh, here I was thinking it was
nice.
Now.
Mark?
Was that the building, Dale, I burned down last summer? I want to do another one. That was fun.
Okay, excuse me. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Board of County Commissioner meeting, 3rd June 2014. We're on agenda item number 11. I'm looking at the member coverage summary provided earlier at the meeting. And there's a couple important corrections I'd like you to consider before approving this. Now, I'm going to the MPAIP membership list, and there's a few things that are notable. Okay, fire districts. I go down. Nothing about Story County. You know, the last couple meetings, Story County approved a brand new fire district 474, and I think that should be included on this list. We go to others, we go down. I see Virginia City Convention and Tourism Authority. That name's been obsolete for a number of years now. It's a Virginia City Tourism Commission, so if that could be corrected. Under special districts, I see nothing about Story County water and sewer. I think, especially with the new bond, the new loans and all that, that's a separate entity and should be covered. Additionally, when the fiscal year 2014-2015 budget was approved, noticeably lacking was it's a new requirement for a heart and lung disease form recently passed by Department of Taxation. Talking about the employees in Story County who would be subject to the heart and lung disease and how those funds are being put aside for them. Also, worthy of note on this agenda item is the agreement between Story County and Story County Sheriff's Office Employee Association / Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. This agreement's due to expire at the end of this month, and y'all have canceled the next meeting, and I'm wondering how this agreement between Story County and the union will affect the coverage for the county. Thank you.
Yeah, you should bring up, those are good suggestions. You should bring those up with the board of directors of Pool Pack and not with your board of county commissioners. And also, we didn't cancel our next meeting. We canceled the second meeting in July. Sure. So, thank you. Anybody else have any discussion on this?
If I can speak to that, though, actually, the Pool Impact have an application and approval process, and we have just recently, through the district attorney, you know, undergone beginning to identify the fire district, as Mr. Phillips correctly pointed out, and water and sewer. And we're working through our broker and the pool to make applications for those entities as they now stand. But we have been assured and we're confident knowing that all entities are insured under the county's master policy at this stage, and that continues while we go through the paperwork on this. So it's something we knew of and have been working on.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Any other discussion on this? All right. So at this time, I'm going to ask for a motion to approve item 11, the proposal from Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool and approval of payment from fiscal year 2014-2015 funds.
So moved.
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Great. Thank you. See you later. Pleasure doing business with you, Ms. Ingalls.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Good to see you, girls.
Okay, let's move along to item 14, community development and planning. This will be the appointment of a planning commissioner to fill the vacancy and represent precincts 1 and 2, which is the Virginia City Gold Hill District, on the Story County Planning Commission. The vacancy was posted and letters of interest were received from May the 2nd of 14 to May the 16th of 14. Austin's not here, so do you want to run with that?
Yes, I can take that. This was an interesting process this time. As you know, we advertise at least for 2, sometimes 3 weeks to try to develop a robust candidate pool. This time around, we had one candidate, but we had about 10 other people come to us and say, if he hasn't applied, you need to talk to this gentleman, or I highly recommend this gentleman. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I know you very well, but I sure as heck want to get to know you, because you've got some very good supporters and some very good people backing you. So it is Austin's recommendation as the planner, and certainly mine as your staff, to proudly recommend Mr. Hindle, and I'll come up with his whole name here in just a minute, hopefully. Mr. Dewar James Hindle III, also known as Jim Hindle, as our planning commissioner to fill Doug Rowling's place. And keep in mind, one of those excellent recommendations come from Commissioner Walling himself. So I've never had a better candidate fall in our lap.
There you go. That's great.
Well, I do know this guy's rap sheet, and he's a swell guy. but I agree with you, Pat. He does have some impressive credentials, and I think he could make an outstanding member of the team. Unless there's further discussion, I'll motion to appoint Jim Hindle to the Planning Commission.
You get a second on that?
I think you get a second.
Okay. Mark?
Once again, I'm Mark Phillips. Discussion before the action, item number 14, appointment of planning commissioner to fill vacancy. Represent precincts 1 and 2, Virginia City Gold Hill District, on Story County Planning Commission. I know Jim, got to know Jim real well this last year. This is just one of those open meeting law things on the clear motion. Well, we know that this is a vacancy in the office of Doug Walling. Could we let the record reflect how many years this is for? I believe this leaves about a 2-year vacancy. It's a four-year term normally, but Doug Walling just got sworn in for his new four-year term either last year or the year before. So could we clarify the length of time the vacancy's for in the motion? Thank you.
Probably be sufficient to appoint him to the unexpired term of Doug Walling. And I don't know how long that is. Was he appointed this year? So be appointing for the unexpired term of Doug Walling.
Any other discussion on this? Would you like to amend your motion there, Mr. Shering?
Jim serves out the remaining portion of Doug Walling's term.
Second.
You've been moved to second to approve Jim Hendel to the Planning Commission to serve out Doug Walling's term. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Great. Thank you. Welcome aboard. Item 15, we have the possible action for licensing board on second readings. What do they have for us on second readings?
I'm ready to go, Mr. Chairman. The Community Development Department recommends approving item A, safeguard restoration, B, CVRE, C, molehill moccasins, and E, Randa accessories as good to go and fully conforming and ready to be licensed.
Okay. Move for approval of A, B, C, and E.
So moved.
So seconded.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Great. Motion carries.
And we got to continue. They also recommend continuing item D, the Mark Twain Community Center, while we work through some building improvements and tenant occupancy.
Motion to continue item D.
Okay, motion to continue D.
Second.
Moved and second to continue item D. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
That's great. Motion carries. Here we go for the grand finale, item 16, public comment. You want to go last? Mark, come on down.
Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Item number 16, public comment. Okay, we've already brought up the conversation about a meeting later this month to canvass the vote, I hope. And I want to make it clear to the commissioners once again, the agreement between Story County and operating engineer local number 3 is due to expire at the end of this month, and new contract would have to be taken care of with public comment in an open meeting. There's new laws requiring whoever gets elected sheriff and all the appointed deputies, it's this post-training. It's something that wasn't brought up in the budget hearings, but it's going to be a lot of people needing to go to school, I believe. And last but not least, in regards to Story County School District, I've seen no indication that anybody's serious about the resolution and certificate required for the Story County School District to maintain their own funds. So I'll try to make my case at the next school board meeting and get back to the superintendent of public instruction in the state.
You know, in response to the sheriff's department's contract, I'm pretty sure there's a provision in the contract that would say that if we don't reach agreement by the date of its expiration, the contract we presently have stays in existence until we do. So whenever they're negotiating, sometimes they go beyond the date that the new contract should be adopted, and if we get past that, the old contract continues in existence until the new contract, the new agreement, speaks. So.
And all the information about
unions in Story County and their membership, that's all public record.
But is it a union? I don't think so, yeah.
Mr. Beach?
Who are you in charge, Mr. Chair? I don't have a talk about young guy.
Got a new topic?
You already used that part in the 3 minutes.
Yeah, right. My topic is the water in Mark Twain. Oh, my name's Dale Beach, too. The water down there, every 2 years, my son's computer kicks, and we go out there, and we've got four big nuts we tie on a piece of twine and drop down the water, find water, clink, you hear it, pull it out and measure it. Our water's buried only 2.9 inches over the almost 21 years we've been there. So we hit water at 149.
You only lost two inches of water, is that what you're saying?
2.9 inches.
That's all you've lost?
That's up and down. That's the top, really? The highest to the lowest is 2.9 inches. 2 foot 9 inches.
Okay.
2 foot 9 inches, oh, like that. 2 foot 9. Yes. And so every 2 years we do that, we pop the lids off the septic tank and see if they need a pump. Okay? So I don't think the water's running dry down there. We're all in the same aquifer. But it costs a lot of money. They told us when they put that commercial well in for us, it'd do 20 to 30 years, and we're on 22 now, so we're going to look at probably a $20,000 redo when we pull and get over all that. All the pipe. See, we're in a 250-foot hole. We hit water at 145. We went down to 250. So we're sitting there in 105 foot of water, and it's only buried at 2 feet. A lot of commercial wells, they go in there and they're doing spec. So they just drill water. When they hit water, they go down the rest of the drill. They might be in 5 foot of water. And that's what those people are running into now. But their pipe rots off. A whole lot of things here. But we have a TRI, those people negotiate a nice contract that set aside 35 cents out of every dollar for maintenance. And we would like to have something down there. These people are going to run into some big expenses, and I'm going to look at 10 years if I make 10 years, and I think I will. We're going to run into probably $20,000. And why couldn't we set that same 35% of the taxes we pay over here, Mark Twain? Water wells. And then when somebody's got a problem, like some of those people are getting down there and they got to bring somebody in and drill farther or put a new pump in and a new tank. Those tanks on left got infinite life too. Internally processed the best we could get at the time. I guess they're putting plastic in them now and they might last long. But there's big money. There's big money in that. And TRI's money, it goes over and sets in a place to do infrastructure. And that's well as infrastructure. I don't care. Up here, somebody digs a well and water, and you guys got it all. But then they charge them per month. Well, everybody down there, everybody has to do their own. And some of those people are, not quite as well off as some of us. And I'm not as well off as other people, but I've got the money to do it. But, I'd like to see some of that tax money to where when I need it. It's like when I get a pothole, they'll come down and patch a pothole, but nobody comes down when I got a sewer. I had to redo my sewer lines. Uh-oh, I'm done.
Thank you. Long time since we've seen Mr. Flanagan here. Did you have something to talk about today, Pat?
No.
Huh?
Just watching.
Okay.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
So let us know you're still alive.
The district attorney was trying to make a joke down there, but
I said you just came so that we all knew you were alive.
Anyone else have any public comment? Okay. Marie is adjourned. Thank you all for coming.